Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get a Red Bull update from Kuwait. We're going to learn about the Soldier for Life program, and we're going to check in with our County Veteran Service Officer. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
A little more than 100 years ago, in the blowing sands of the New Mexico desert, our Army formed the unit now known as our 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. While they were initially known as the Sandstorm Division, it was during World War II the division earned its current name and its current motto. As the 34th fought across North Africa and Italy, their wary enemy bemoaned that all the unrelenting Red Bulls would do was attack, then attack, then attack. Today, proud Red Bulls across our state and nation carry on the legacy earned by our veterans, those that fought tirelessly during World War II, Iraq, and Afghanistan. To all of those who have and those that continue today to wear the Red Bull patch, I thank you for your dedication, your sacrifice, and your service. Red Bulls, attack, attack, attack.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the top of the show, on today's show, we're going to get a Red Bull update from Kuwait. And joining us now is First Lieutenant Daniel Thompson, Charlie Company, 34th Infantry Division, serves as the Company Executive Officer for Task Force Spartan Signal Support Company. And Lieutenant Thompson, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's great to be here, Tom.
Lieutenant, I suppose you're not surprised to hear the tag's message today was attack, attack, attack. That really has something to do with our 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it does. It's the motto that we continue to live by, even while we're over here in Kuwait.
And, Lieutenant, you're the Charlie Company Executive Officer for the Signal Support Company. Can you tell us, what does a Signal Support Company do, especially as part of this deployment?
Right. The Signal Support Company is in charge of making sure that the division staff has the network capabilities in order to connect to the internet so that way they can communicate properly.
So that's pretty important in today's Army. You have to, it's really good to be able to communicate back home and all over the mission field.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's important because it allows us to quickly communicate with each other in a way that hasn't been done even 10 years ago. So it's really awesome to be part of this mission, especially in this time and age.
And a very key component of that mission to keep to keep your communications going. Sir, I understand that you had an opportunity to be part of a training exercise with Task Force Spartan and the Royal Army of Oman.
Yes, I was actually the mayor cell for Task Force Spartan and supported the infantry battalion that conducted the exercise with the Royal Army of Oman.
I'll bet that was fascinating, and what an opportunity.
Oh, yes, it was. The big thing of it was just working with our counterparts in the Royal Army of Oman. It was definitely an eye-opener to be able to experience not only their culture, but how they train themselves.
And, Lieutenant, how many members are there of the Signal Support Company?
It's a little over 100 people, and we're split into two big segments. One is our G6, which is our division staff that runs the networking part of the division staff, and then we have what we kind of call the Signal Support section, which runs all of the actual assemblages and runs all of the cables and essentially are the ones that get down into the dirt and are out there and doing the exercises.
Pretty important component of that deployment. So I understand, Lieutenant, that you're halfway done with this deployment.
That is correct.
Well, downhill from here, sir, so keep up the good work. We're speaking to Lieutenant Daniel Thompson from the Charlie Company, 34th Infantry Division in Kuwait on Minnesota Military Radio. Lieutenant, we'd like to introduce and talk to now Specialist Jared Vitruba. Specialist, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom, thank you for having me.
I understand you're from Lake Elmo.
I am born and raised in Lake Elmo, Minnesota.
Okay, that's right here in the Twin Cities. And when you're not deployed, you're a full-time student at the University of St. Thomas.
That's right. I'm going to be starting this fall at the University of St. Thomas. It's going to be a fun 4 years.
I'll bet you're looking forward to that.
I am. I'm excited to come home and start school.
All right. Now, they tell me that you had an opportunity to play in a really special softball game against the Kuwaiti national team in Kuwait City. How was that?
Wow, it was a great experience. It wasn't actually the Kuwaiti national team, though. It was just a bunch of civilian contractors and other soldiers around Kuwait. And there were a few Kuwaiti people on the team, but it was really a good mix of people. And it was really good to go out and see the Kuwaiti culture. And actually, the Red Bull band was there, and they performed a couple songs. They did the national anthem and stuff before the game. We were fortunate enough to have one of our Brigadier Generals actually throw the first pitch before the game, too, so that was really cool. And, yeah, it was just a great outing out on the town and had some good food afterwards and had a good game of softball.
Now, do the Kuwaitis normally or regularly play softball?
They have a pretty good softball complex that they have built, but how much they play, I'm not actually sure. But they have some pretty nice fields out there, so I assume they play quite a bit.
Well, was it just a fun game, or did you keep score?
We kept score, and we actually tied. It was 22-22.
Diplomatically correct.
But it was, yeah, it was pretty competitive.
A specialist, I understand your dad was one of my peers and served in Vietnam.
He was. He served in Vietnam, and he was actually a cook. 92 golf.
Well, we always try to take care of our cooks because everybody gets hungry, so that was great. But if he had that experience in Vietnam, I'll bet you would bet that you and he have some interesting conversations now that you're deployed to Kuwait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talk to him almost every night, if not every other night, and he knows I'm doing just fine over here, and he can't wait so we can come home and watch the Vikings again.
And he was in
Minnesota.
Was he in the Army as well?
He was, yep. He was in the Army.
All right, then I would guess then that he's following your deployment very carefully. I know when my son went in the Navy, even though I was in the Air Force, I followed him pretty close on his aircraft carrier. So good for you that you have the ability with today's technology to communicate with him almost daily.
It is awesome, and I talk to him and my mom almost every day. I'm their only child, so they don't have much else going on.
Well, then we'll have to talk to Lieutenant Thompson, make sure he takes good care of you so you can get home to your mom and dad.
That's right.
All right. Well, it sounds
I'll make sure to take good care of him.
Only child, you got to take care of that Vietnam veteran son.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk to a couple more members of the 34th Infantry Division Charlie Company Signal Support Company on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with the Charlie Company, the 34th Infantry Division, which is deployed on Task Force Spartan to Kuwait. And the Charlie Company is the Signal Support Company. And joining us now is Sergeant Shane Kramer. Sergeant Kramer, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, it's great to be here, Tom.
Sergeant Kramer, can you tell us what's your position within the Signal Support Company?
I'm under the main command post, so I'm a squad leader. I'm in charge of about 6 soldiers, give or take.
All right, and I understand that back home, do you call home, is that Sioux Center, Iowa?
I am. Sorry, I'm in Iwegian now. I was born in Minnesota, but yep, I moved.
Yeah, I understand you're from Magnolia, and you graduated from Laverne, and somehow you got down to Iowa, but that's okay. You're still part of the Red Bulls. They tell me that you have a business back home, flooring installation?
Yep, I do.
How do you handle the business from all the way from Kuwait?
It's pretty simple when I have a really supportive wife that knows how to run the business, too. She owns her own business, too, so she kind of has her own way of doing things. It might not be my way, but as long as the stuff gets done, then that's the main thing.
So you got the easy part. You're in Kuwait, and you get into your rhythm every day, and she's got double duty back home.
She does, but she's a strong woman, and she's doing what she can.
Well, I'm sure she'll be happy to have you home, and then she'll probably want to go on a vacation.
Yeah, I think we have a vacation planned, maybe a couple.
All right. Now, I understand on this deployment you had an opportunity to become a Bible study leader.
I have. It's been a super blessing to be a part of the ministry group here.
So we had a little support from Chaplain Wynn?
I have. We talk pretty regularly, and the other chaplains also are supportive. They can't be everywhere all the time, so it's good to help them share the load and get with other soldiers when they can't be there and just get on their level, and we work with them day in and day out so we can monitor them a little bit more and see how their faith is growing down here.
How did you come around to be a Bible study leader? Is that something you've done in the past, or is this new on this deployment?
Well, back home, I am trying to be a youth minister, so I got accepted into college while I was here to Dort in Sioux Center, and I'm going to go into youth ministry, and I kind of can help relate people with my history and background in that.
So you get to practice on our Red Bull soldiers then?
I do, but I get to, more than just practice, I get to help grow with them too.
I think that's a great, it gives you something to do when you're not on duty with the Signal Support Company. And please say hello to Chaplain Wynn for me, and what a great opportunity for you.
I will definitely do that. Thank you, Tom.
Now, is your wife getting good support back in Sioux Center?
She is. We live in a cul-de-sac, so there's not a whole lot of in and out going there. But our neighbors, before she wakes up, she gets a pretty slack job. She gets to wake up at around 9 sometimes. So by the time she gets up, the driveway is usually cleaned off somehow miraculously. But she does a lot of baking.
Yeah, are you getting some support from the local American Legion as well?
We are, actually. I try to share with as much as I can. Can never get too many baked goods and toilet paper and all that stuff.
Well, it's great to know that while you're away that she's getting some good local community support, and I'm sure you get to speak to her fairly often from Kuwait.
I do. Thank you.
Sergeant Kramer, thanks for joining us today. This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're talking to some of our Red Bull soldiers from Kuwait. And next up is Sergeant Benjamin Mitten. Sergeant Mitten, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having us, Tom.
Sergeant Mitten, can you tell us where you're from back home?
So I'm originally from Canada, but born in, or raised rather, mostly in Roosevelt, Minnesota. So up about 6.5 hours north of the cities. So we get pretty cold up there, played a lot of hockey.
And is your where does your family live now? Are you down in South Dakota as well?
Yeah, I live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at this point in time. I moved down. My wife's from Sioux Falls.
All right. And I understand that you had kind of a goal. You wanted to earn some air assault wings, and you got an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, well, Tom, that's been a goal I've had for about 7 years now. It can be a kind of a hard slot to get. So when I heard that the team from Fort Benning was going to be coming over to Camp Bearing, I was really excited and started training in hopes of getting a slot there, and ended up getting to attend. Definitely not just a highlight of the deployment for me, but of my military career, getting to train on combat, basically out of a helicopter, assaulting a position quickly, using the air wing. And also we learned how to transport materials to and from locations that you couldn't do on a road, and finished out with a lot of practice rappelling, starting out in the tower, but it culminated in a 90-foot rappel from a Black Hawk helicopter, which I'll never forget doing that.
Sergeant Mitten, I was in the Air Force in Vietnam, and I never found a good enough reason to jump out of a perfectly good aircraft. But if you find that fun, rappelling from 90 feet out of a Black Hawk, more power to you.
Hey, well, I figure that if the aircraft, plane, or helicopter does have an issue, I'm going to know how to get out of it at least.
Very good, sir. Now, you have a wife and a four-year-old back home.
That's correct. I have a wife, Emily, and Cedric is, yep, he's 4.5 now.
And I understand that you've had a particularly rough deployment for your family because you were expecting another child, but your wife miscarried.
Yeah, that's correct, Tom. So about 6 weeks into the deployment, on just a routine checkup, Emily found out that our little girl's heart wasn't beating anymore. And we've been trying to have a kid for a while now. So that's been the hardest part of the deployment for us, predictably. But it's been just amazing to see how the soldiers here in Kuwait have gathered around and helped me, and also sent hundreds of dollars worth of gifts and food and so many messages to my wife back in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So, well, it's not something that I would ever wish on anyone. I believe we are stronger for it, and to see the way that the community has come around us and supported us is just has us in awe.
Sergeant Mitten, we've talked fairly often on the show about how our soldiers sacrifice when they deploy and how the families sacrifice as well. But we're very sorry to hear about this miscarriage. But the good news is the support system that you had in Kuwait and all the support back home for your wife, that has to make you feel good.
Oh, it really does, Tom. I've actually been involved in that Bible study that Sergeant Kramer mentioned. He's been a really good friend on this deployment. So I really give a lot of thanks to them, to my wife for her strength, and to God for coming along and giving his strength.
And we've said before that when you're deployed, the soldiers are like family, but when they circle around you in the tough moments, you know that there's a lot of soldiers in your unit that care, and you help each other through each day.
Absolutely, Tom.
Now, Sergeant Mitten, I understand that there's a lot more help back home for things like snow falling, and I imagine there's a lot of that melting now. And is your wife getting a lot of help from the community for those basic type things as well?
She really has. At the beginning of the deployment, actually a little before, looked up a project called Project Evergreen, and they hook up local businesses with deployed families, help them with everything from snow removal to when it gets to the summertime again, they'll do lawn care and things like that. So Emily's had somebody come in and take care of our drive almost every time that she's needed to get out. That's been a huge blessing.
That's got to make you feel pretty good from halfway around the world.
It does. Nothing sounds as good as knowing that your family's being taken care of when you can't.
Sergeant Mitten, you're more than halfway through this deployment, so I hope the rest of it goes smoothly. And if you have a chance to ride in a Blackhawk, stay in it, will you? We don't want to hear about you rappelling 90 feet again.
Will do, Tom.
All right, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. My pleasure.
Those were members of the Charlie Company, 34th Infantry Division, all the way from Kuwait, joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Soldier for Life program. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to talk about the Soldier for Life program. And joining me to do that is Lieutenant Colonel Danya Mosley and Master Sergeant Eric Heyman. So, Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant, glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Colonel, can you tell us how long you've been in the military and how long does it take to get to be a lieutenant colonel?
Well, actually, I've been in the military for 23 years as of December.
And how long does it take to become a lieutenant colonel?
Well, for me, it took quite a bit of time. I was enlisted at first. I spent 4 years as an enlisted soldier as an 88 Mike. And then I decided I wanted something, you know, better and different. So I switched over and did Green to Gold in the ROTC department. And now here I am. And so 23 years later, I am a lieutenant colonel, finally. And it's been a very good experience for me.
Happy to have you here today talking about Soldier for Life program, ma'am. And Sergeant, how long have you been in?
Sir, I've been in 18 years. By trade, I'm an infantryman. I've held every position from team leader up to company first sergeant. And I've had a very good time and met great people throughout my military experience so far.
Now, you're both active duty Army. How did you get assigned to the Soldier for Life program?
That's a funny story. I was getting ready to take a company in the old guard over at Fort Myer, where Arlington is. And I worked for a sergeant major who is now the Sergeant Major for Soldier for Life, Sergeant Major Wilder. And as I was trying to get a company there, he called me up and said, "Hey, I got a job for you if you want to take it." And I asked him what it was. I didn't know what it was. And he says, "It's great. You're going to meet plenty of people. You're going to travel a lot, and you're going to be helping out veterans." And I was like, "Let's do it." So I got nominated for the position, and I started that last year. So I've been on the job for just over a year now.
So you found out it's easier to tell the Sergeant Major, "I'm in."
Oh, yeah, it always is, yes. If you can support your Sergeant Major, support them.
There you go. Ma'am, Soldier for Life program, can you tell us about the mission and vision? What's it all about?
Well, the Soldier for Life mission is the Soldier for Life We Network. So Soldier for Life networks with the community at large to shape education, employment, health, and policies, along with programs and services on behalf of the soldiers, the Army veterans, and their families.
So that sounds like a good mission statement. What's it really mean? You're trying to help soldiers while they're in the military, or you help them transition and after they're out, or all of the above?
All of the above. We actually connect with veterans, with students, with military members that are currently in, to make sure they have all the resources that they need to be successful as they exit out of the military.
So you're actually in the process of developing a broad network of resources to support every soldier, veteran, and family member in all aspects of their service.
Correct.
All right. Very good. Sergeant Heyman, I know that the Soldier for Life has some objectives. Can you walk us through those?
Yes. We have objectives: engage, network, and consult. Those are the three things when we go out into the community or the states that we're responsible for. Those are three methods of or pathways we try to take. And by engaging, the Soldier for Life engages communities, organizations, businesses, and academic institutions in order to better understand all aspects of the veteran space. Identify gaps the Army veterans and transitioning soldiers and families face, and introduce military and civilian audiences to Soldier for Life program. So we connect. Then we network. Soldier for Life fosters a broad network of key organizations across the U.S. that provides education, employment, and health resources or opportunities. And we try to leverage the Army network to provide those resources for our service members and veterans alike. We consult with corporate businesses to try that have veteran hiring initiatives, and we try to team them up with transition service members that are on the installations or bases to help get meaningful employment for our transitioning soldiers, or provide training for those that are in. So it's like a soldier life cycle, a whole life cycle from recruitment while you're serving and then when you're done serving. We try to fulfill every avenue within that soldier life cycle.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Danya Mosley and Master Sergeant Eric Heyman on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Heyman, what does this mean now? If I'm a soldier and I'm cruising through my career, but I'm coming towards the end of it, and I'm thinking about what's the transition, what's the future hold, can I contact Soldier for Life, and will you help with that? Is that how this works?
So you wouldn't contact Soldier for Life. We just try to identify those resources or outreach opportunities to connect those resources that we discover and team them up with the influential people at the bases, the armories, the installations to that have interaction with the transitioning service members. So we try to provide the information and knowledge to those that directly meet with those soldiers every day, either the career counselors at the bases or armories or the transition service members.
And ma'am, how would this program be beneficial to our veterans?
The program is beneficial to the veterans due to the fact that there's a lot of resources out there to help them as they transition. They give them skills as they're walking out of the door with resume writing and things of that.
So you compile and keep track of all the various resources available, and if they've contacted you, you can point them in the right direction.
Yes, we can.
All right, that sounds good. Now, Sergeant Heyman, what's going on in Minnesota and in the region up here? I know in Minnesota there's a lot of organizations here to help our service members, their families, and veterans. We're, I think, way ahead of most of the rest of the states. How does that play into what you're doing?
I would agree with that statement. Minnesota is very mature in the resources and the relationships with their National Guard, the Red Bull. There's a plethora of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon programs or Yellow Ribbon programs that are there to help get these soldiers meaningful employment, to where it affects the readiness, to where it makes them more ready and able to go to drill, to conduct training, to be, again, proficient at our number one mission, which is defending our nation, but also being ready to do that by having a meaningful career. Minnesota is far more mature than many. I think it's been about 10 years that these programs have been stood up. And we just met with all week. We've been meeting with Yellow Ribbon companies, you know, Mall of America, the DNR, our nonprofit, the nonprofit MACV that's here in the state. And it's refreshing to know as a service member that there are programs in this state that are available for them if any service members need it.
And of course, we've had the Yellow Ribbon program on quite often, but there's over 50 Yellow Ribbon companies in Minnesota. They not only hire veterans, but they also provide support to our deployed veterans and their families. And the whole Yellow Ribbon program, we just talked to our Red Bulls in the first half of the show. They've got 650 soldiers deployed to Kuwait, and there's a lot of support for the families back here while they're deployed. So I think Minnesota is right out there in front. But one of the other things that I've seen is when a soldier musters out, there's a transition assistance program available that they also talk about some of the resources that you're researching.
That is correct. So we worked really close side with Soldier for Life, TAP, which stands for Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program, who writes the policy and makes sure that the mandatory training requirements are met at every installation or out in the communities for our National Guard to alleviate the transition challenges that may arise in that transition time period. So we work side by side with them. We try to reinforce their policy, and we stay very continue to build relationships and stay really close to those transition service managers at the installations that execute that policy.
Very good, Lieutenant, Colonel, and Sergeant. We've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to a little more about the Soldier for Life program with Lieutenant Colonel Danya Mosley and Master Sergeant Eric Heyman on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Lieutenant Colonel Danya Mosley and Master Sergeant Eric Heyman about the Soldier for Life program. We're going to continue that discussion, but first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As I reflect on the sacrifices of our Vietnam veterans have made for our country, I am reminded that it is never too late to pay tribute and honor to those who answered our nation's call. We give thanks to a generation of Americans who saw our country through one of the most challenging missions ever faced. Minnesota servicemen and women put their lives on hold and were called upon to assemble at the nation's request to serve during the Vietnam War. These individuals served bravely, with honor and distinction, and heroically laid down their lives to preserve the freedoms that we Americans hold dear. To all of our Vietnam veterans listening, I say thank you for your service and welcome home.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We've been speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Danya Mosley and Master Sergeant Eric Heyman about the Soldier for Life program. And Sergeant Heyman, before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about transition assistance, which you referred to as TAP. And one of the things that we've heard about over the years is a soldier maybe spends 20 or 30 years in the military, learns a lot of things, and when they get out and they try to put together a resume, it's in military terms and it's in acronyms and it's in things that civilian employers don't understand. I assume you find some resources to help with those issues.
That's correct. We're very ingrained in the culture to acronyms and our duty positions and almost in a NCOER, non-commissioned officer evaluation report bullet format, which is understands in the culture of the military. However, when you transition out into the civilian workforce, it's not really translated as well. And oftentimes, if you don't translate it properly, you may get passed up by an HR that has no military experience. And it happens a lot. There are programs, and that's why there are programs that in nonprofit organizations that provide assistance in building that resume to read and share your positive experience and what you really are capable of doing to the civilian workforce.
So as you can describe all that experience in terms that translate to a civilian employer and say, now I get it. I can use him in the machine shop, or I can use her somewhere else and take advantage of those leadership skills and all the rest of the things that you learn in the military.
Exactly right. That is exactly right, Tom.
All right. We want to also talk about the fact that there are a lot of transitioning service members now as some of the forces have cut back and so forth. Are there any top issues that you find up here in the upper Midwest that that our service members are facing?
I'd say the most common issue that I would say service members are facing or a challenge is, you know, once it comes time to transition out, you know, without I wouldn't know all the programs that are available if I didn't have this duty position with Soldier for Life. But because of my duty position, I have realized there's a plethora of organizations, nonprofits, and resources available. But the biggest challenge for transition service members, they don't know that. And they're used to the culture on the installation or near the armory where there's a one-stop shop. They have their Army Community Services. They have AER loans available for them if they come into a financial difficulty. They have all these different resources that are at their fingertips. And then once they transition out and go back to wherever it is they end up residing in when they transition, they don't know where to find them. So for Minnesota, you're ahead of the curve because you have the yellow Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. And that is a challenge nationally of being able to get out of that culture and transition. But for Minnesota, you think you guys really are breaking down that wall for our service members.
Colonel Mosley, what are the future initiatives that Soldier for Life program is working on for our transitioning service members?
Well, Soldier for Life is expanding soldier and veteran awareness with access and advocacy for opportunities across the Soldier for Life cycle. We are pursuing initiatives to inspire, share, and expand the reach and scope of community collaboratives. We are identifying high potential career skills programs, opportunities, improving Army education opportunities. We're also working with the Army Centers of Influence in closing the operational and functional gaps between the P3Os and the Citizen Soldiers for Life.
Very good. You're working on a lot of things, ma'am.
Yes, lots of things.
Sergeant Heyman, we've just got about a minute left or so. You've been in the military for a lot of years. You've had a good career. You've got lots of stripes on your shoulder. What would you say to the young people listening to our show today if they were thinking about entering the Army?
I would say to our youth, you know, the way I can inspire you to serve is it's a lifelong journey. You learn experiences and you have experiences that will never be forgotten. There's opportunities for education, higher education through tuition assistance. And soon there's going to be opportunities to get that degree and then get a credential to pad that degree through the credentialing assistance program, which will make you even more marketable, whether if you go transition out from active duty service or you join the reserves or National Guard, you could still utilize these benefits and then get a very meaningful career. So there's opportunities for everything.
Thank you, Sergeant. And ma'am, 20-some years in the military, started out enlisted, now you're a lieutenant colonel. What would you have to say to all the young ladies listening to the show?
Go for it. It is well needed and well deserved. And I want to tell all the women out there, you're needed. You are needed in our Army. Please join.
A lot of good experiences, and you build friends and family as a member of the service.
You do, yes.
So you'd recommend it?
I would recommend it, highly recommend it.
All right, very good. I want to thank you both for joining us today. That was Lieutenant Colonel Danya Mosley and Master Sergeant Eric Heyman on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Robbie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me back on again today.
Robbie, it's been a busy week, and I know that you and a lot of other organizations were involved in getting some veterans over to the state capitol.
Yeah, we had Veterans Day on the Hill yesterday up at the capitol. Real good turnout. We had over 500 veterans from all over the state of Minnesota that attended our rally. And we had the governor speak, and a lot of our state reps and state senators were there to talk about veterans benefits. And we told them that what we were looking to try to get done in the legislature.
So we had a good turnout yesterday?
Very good, very good.
And I know one of the legislative initiatives you were working on was trying to extend a real estate tax break for surviving spouse of the veteran if they die.
The Disabled Veterans Homestead Property Tax Exclusion is one of the bills up there that we're working on to try to get a couple of the exclusion parameters changed for the surviving spouses.
I understand the way the law is written, and now if the veteran dies, the surviving spouse has just got a limited number of years that they can continue that exclusion. And when those years are up, they don't get a raise, so they still have to figure out a way to pay those taxes.
Yep, they still have to find a way to pay the taxes. There were a couple of examples yesterday that if we don't get the bill passed this year, that there's a good chance that a couple of widows are going to have to move out of the home, and some of them have been there for almost 50 years.
That'd be a shame. Well, let's talk about this. What does the Disabled Veterans Homestead Property Tax Exclusion provide?
Well, what the program provides is property tax exclusion for the homestead of an honorably discharged veteran who has service-connected disability ratings of 70% or higher, the surviving spouses of certain qualifying veterans and service members, and then primary caregivers of qualifying veterans could get the exclusion.
So can you tell us, what is the market value exclusion?
Well, Tom, the exclusion reduces the market value of the home that is subject to property taxes. It provides two exclusion levels. The first one is up to $300,000 of market value is excluded for veterans who have a service-connected disability of 100% permanent and total, including permanent individual unemployability, and the surviving spouses of those rated at 100% and spouses of service members who died due to service-connected calls while serving honorably on active duty, and then qualifying primary caregivers of veterans permanently and totally disabled. And then the second exclusion level is up to $150,000 of market value is excluded from property taxes of a veteran that has a 70% or greater service-connected disability and qualifying primary caregivers of veterans permanently and totally disabled.
Now, Robbie, I want to stop there for a minute because we went through that a little bit quick, but what we're talking about here isn't a gift for veterans.
No, it's not. You have to have a disability rating of 70% or higher to be able to qualify for this.
So for our veterans that are, say, 100% disabled, something happened to them in the military that put them in a really bad place, and what they get here, what they've earned here, is a tax break on their homestead.
That is correct.
All right. Now, can you tell us how do veterans qualify for this program?
Well, first, they have to be honorably discharged from the armed forces, and they have to have a service-connected disability of 100 or 70% or more, and they have to occupy a property that is classified as their homestead.
And then if a veteran meets all those qualifications, how do they go about applying for this exclusion? How tough is it?
Well, it's pretty simple. Basically, the applications are available at your county assessor's office, and they must apply as of right now by July 1st of 2019 to qualify for the exclusion for property taxables paid next year.
So there's some forms they have to fill out. They might have to deliver that to the city or might have to deliver it to the county and just work with those people, deliver the copy of your service disability, and they may have some questions, but they'll process those forms.
All right. And in any case, they can come into their county veteran service office and we can help them with any of the forms that they need to be done.
Well, there's something we didn't talk about this week yet. County veteran service officers, there's one or more in every county. And our veterans need to know that anything veteran-related, anything related to your time in the service, get a hold of your county veteran service officer, make appointments, stop in, bring your DD-214, your discharge, and you and all of your fellow veteran service officers make it your business to know what resources are available.
Yep. You know, for up to, it's almost 75 years now that county veteran service officers have been around, that we've been that go-to person for veterans benefits throughout the state.
Very good, Robbie. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
That was Robbie Robinson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We have one mention today. The 12th annual Vietnam Veterans Day program will be held on Sunday, March 31st at the American Legion Post 225 in Forest Lake at 2 o'clock. The topic this year is, what was the importance and risk of infantry point man during the Vietnam War? They're going to give out a $500 scholarship to the winning essay, and it's a free event, open to the public. Once again, 12th Annual Vietnam Veterans Day Program, Sunday, March 31st at the American Legion Post in Forest Lake. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Those four members of Charlie Company of the 34th Infantry Red Bull Division from Kuwait, Lieutenant Colonel Danya Mosley and Master Sergeant Eric Heyman from Soldiers for Life Program, Robbie Robinson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about an update on Gulf War Syndrome from the Minneapolis V-8 and meet another Yellow Ribbon company that's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.